From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Madeline Baxter with this news. The state official overseeing Alaska's cruise ship monitoring program is concerned about losing independent environmental inspectors on cruise ships. That's despite public assurances by officials that the program isn't needed. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, the inspectors, known as Ocean Rangers, are on the chopping block as Governor Dunleavy's budget cuts work their way through the legislature.
In a recent interview, the State Department of Environmental Conservation's top budget official, Jeff Rogers, laid out the Dunleavy administration's case for removing inspectors from cruise ships. He said his agency has ample access to data from vessels.
And all of that inspection and reporting activity will continue even without those 24/7 on-site observers, the Ocean Rangers.
But those that work in the cruise ship program note that without onboard inspectors, the state's authority to monitor pollution from ships would be limited.
We only have the authority to go on board ships when a sample is being taken while they're discharging.
Ed White heads the DEC's cruise ship monitoring program and has worked with the Ocean Rangers from the beginning. About half of cruise ships that visited Alaska last year had a state wastewater discharge permit, and White expects that to increase this season. He says land-based inspectors can board these vessels without an invitation,
but only to observe their wastewater sampling and their wastewater equipment during that sample.
By contrast, every large cruise ship in Alaska is required to allow an Ocean Ranger on board. These licensed marine engineers move freely around the vessel to observe operations. In 2018, they were aboard for about two-thirds of the time. If they see a potential problem, they report it to the DEC and the Coast Guard. Last year, they logged 189 alleged environmental violations. The program doesn't cost Alaskans anything. It's funded by the state's cruise ship passenger fee, approved by voters in 2006. Any change to the Ocean Rangers program would require an act of the legislature. No bill has been filed, and White said he and his staff haven't seen any draft language. Gershon Cohen helped author the 2006 ballot initiative that created the program. He said the cruise industry's checkered environmental history in Alaska and elsewhere helped ensure its passage. And with Ocean Rangers continuing to log violations, he's puzzled by the governor's move.
Why the state would want to get rid of a program that only protects our waters from international companies that have a long track record of repeat felonies is beyond me.
But Rogers, DEC's budget official, says there's a broader concern over fairness to the industry.
I think there's a recognition on behalf of the governor that there's no good reason to single out the cruise industry, to ask them to meet a requirement that is different and significantly above and beyond the regulatory requirement that every other industrial permittee has to meet.
The program's $3.8 million has been removed from the governor's proposed budget. But without an act of the legislature, that money can't be redirected, and the program's mandate remains on the books. The state is also constrained by how it can spend funds from cruise ship passenger fees. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
Whether or not the commercial herring fishery in Sitka moves forward this spring could now be in the hands of a Juneau judge. Superior Court Judge Daniel Shalley on Tuesday heard oral arguments on a request for an injunction brought by the Sitka Tribe of Alaska. If granted, the injunction could force the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to change policies and delay the fishery, which is only weeks away. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
While the audience was full, seats for the plaintiff and defendant were empty at Sitka Courthouse. Around 25 Sitkans were in attendance in court to listen as legal teams from Sitka Tribe of Alaska, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and the Southeast Herring Conservation Alliance teleconferenced in for a hearing on the tribe's request for an injunction. In December, Sitka Tribe of Alaska filed suit against the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and the Alaska Board of Fisheries after what it claimed were years of fishery mismanagement, resulting in unsustainable commercial harvest levels and drastically lower subsistence harvests. The tribe called for an injunction requiring ADF&G to develop a new management plan prior to the start of the fishery this spring. Juneau Superior Court Judge Daniel Shalley heard oral arguments from both the Sitka Tribe and the state, as well as from the Southeast Herring Conservation Alliance, a nonprofit that joined the lawsuit as an opponent to Sitka Tribe. Both the Regional Native Corporation Sea Alaska and the Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes have joined the suit as interveners on behalf of STA. During the proceedings, a few people stood outside the courthouse holding signs that read, quote, "Start caring and protect our herring." STA's attorney John Starkey argued that the Sitka tribe is suffering irreparable harm as a result of ADF&G's management practices and the State Department not allowing reasonable opportunity for subsistence users. By default, Starkey claimed the department was not following the regulations set forth by the state. The tribe wants an injunction on the commercial fishery until ADF&G shows that they're considering factors like the quality and quantity of spawn on branches when making management decisions. Attorney Seth Bosang, representing the state, argued that the evidence the tribe presented looked almost exactly like what was presented to the Board of Fish in January of 2018, when the board heard proposals to change regulations in the herring fishery. He said the Sitka tribe delivered three of those proposals to the board.
And the board heard that evidence and other evidence. Evidence of declining participation in the fishery. Evidence from the department scientists about how well they're managing the fishery and about how confident they are that the stock is healthy and that they're managing for sustained yield. And the board made its determination that there was a reasonable opportunity for subsistence uses. And now the tribe, not happy about that determination, is asking you to make a different call. And that is not the role of the court.
Bosang argued that the state doesn't consider the quality and quantity of herring spawn on branches before the fishery, because the commercial fishery occurs prior to spawning. Lastly, he argued that the court wasn't the proper channel for the tribe.
If the court were to entertain this injunction, then, you know, why even go to the board, right? I mean, why even go to the board? Because if future plaintiffs know that they can just get what they want from a court rather than even go to the board, that's what they'll do.
Judge Shally had one question for Starkey and the STA legal team. Would this strategy necessarily lead to a delay in the commercial fishery?
Isn't the result, even though you're not asking for specific actions such as a delay of the opening of the fishery, isn't the direct result, or a very likely direct result of what you're asking for, exactly that end?
Starkey responded that it wasn't the tribe's intention to put an unbearable burden on the department. With the fishery still up to a month away, he argued, quote, there's nothing to demonstrate that what we're asking is such a burden on the department that it would result in delaying of the fishery. Given the tight time frame, Judge Shally told the parties he would rule on the request for an injunction as soon as possible. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
According to a Dunleavy spokesman, Alaska's new governor has no plans to change marijuana legislation, even as the Republican administration's appointments and proposal for a state regulatory board worry some in the industry. Spokesman Matt Shakaro said Wednesday that Governor Mike Dunleavy has no desire to push the industry in one direction or the other. Dunleavy has made new appointments to the 5-member marijuana control board, while also planning to propose repealing its existence. The board began a 3-day meeting Wednesday in Juneau, which was expected to be the last meeting for Brandon Emmett. Voters in 2014 approved legalizing the use of so-called recreational marijuana by those 21 or older. Shakaro said repealing the board would require legislative approval, and it's important to have a functioning board as the process plays out. Further details on what Dunleavy is planning are expected when he introduces the repeal legislation. And with a quick look at weather, a reminder, the National Weather Service has posted a winter storm warning for this evening. That means between 3 a.m. and 6 p.m. Thursday evening, between 6 and 8 inches of snow are expected. That's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. I'm Adeline Baxter.